Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church today. I'm glad that you've come to worship the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're excited to be together today in the house, Lord, dedicated to you and worship of the true and living God. We thank you for Jesus and for his sacrifice on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Thank you for paying our debt, Lord. We love you and thank you for that. Thank you for the fact that you rose again, for the power of the resurrection available to us today. And we thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Spirit, your Holy Spirit within us that know you and who've called on your name. I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us through this service, strengthen Joel as he comes to bring your word, and for each one that pours out their heart in praise to you, that they will sense your presence and your love. And Lord, give us the power that we need for daily living and help us to serve you, to share the gospel every chance we get, and to be a light, Lord, in the world of darkness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Welcome to our 10:30 traditional worship. Glad you're here. All of you that are guests, we're glad the Lord has led you to worship with us today. I've got good friends, Colin and Cassie Hutto, that are here worshiping with us today. Janice and I are good friends from a long, long, long time ago. And it is so good to have them with us today worshiping. We're glad all of you are here. Take a few minutes. Welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Thank you.
shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy.
Be seated. All during this month, we're singing this beautiful song for our welcome time, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Last week, we sang the first verse. This week, we'll sing the second. So, Lord, I come to your awesome presence.
Lord, I come to your awesome presence. From the shadows to your radiance. By the blood, I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, send
the Lord. Well, we sing another song that we haven't done in a good while. Used to sing it a lot for the welcome time as well. It's called Our God Reigns. It tells the story of the gospel. There's actually more verses to this hymn that kind of take you through the whole story of Jesus. So, but we're singing the three out of our hymnal today. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And that's what we're about. At our church is taking the good news to people that need to hear it. We do it ourselves, but we also pray for God's people that are doing mission work throughout the world, and we give to missions as well. And so let's think about all this as we sing the gospel, Our God Reigns.
The feet of him who bring good news. Good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Should have mentioned, if you'd like to follow along in the music, it's hymn number 372. So let's continue singing number 372, the second stanza.
He had no stately form, he had no majesty that we should be drawn to him. He was despised, and we took no account of him, yet now he reigns with the Most High. Of the
For our offertory hymn, hymn number 410, Standing on the Promises. We're going to do all five stanzas, so even though we're singing about standing, we're going to stand while we're sitting. And we're going to sing the first four stanzas in our seats, and then we'll all stand together as the ushers begin to come to receive the offering. Yeah, y'all got to stand the whole time. I'm sorry about that. So here we go, Standing on the Promises of God.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let His praises sing. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God,
thanking you for the outpouring of your blessings on us as individuals, as a church, as a community, as a nation. And we just pray that we would never forget where those blessings come from. As we come to this portion of service now, when we can give back just a little of what you've so graciously given to each and every one of us, we pray that these tithes and offerings will be used in furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. I love that song. Thank you, choir. Let's talk about the gospel. After singing that song, we've got to talk about the gospel today. And we're going to do that today in Matthew chapter 12, verses 40 and 41, as we finish up our study of the book of Jonah. And you're going to think, well, how in the world is all that going to make a connection? Well, you'll see here in just a moment. Matthew 12, 40 through 41. Back in 2018, I did a Wednesday night study of the book of Jonah. So, totally different from this. That was 8 years ago. It was Wednesday night, Bible study, verse by verse. And we took about 5 months, and we just simply walked through, verse by verse, Jonah. And we discussed everything, top, bottom, in and out, left and right. We discussed all of the issues in the book of Jonah and how that connected to the gospel. And so, totally different. This time, in our study of the minor prophets, on Sunday morning, we just simply looked at 4 or 5 Sundays, and we just kind of tackled the main issues. And each Sunday, we would look at the next passage of Scripture or the next chapter. So we just kind of touched on, very, very simply touched on some of the main issues in the great story of Jonah. When I finished that study in 2018 on Wednesday nights, I had this synopsis, this summary of the book of Jonah that I read. I went back to find that and I found it, but I didn't write down, which is very unusual for me. Y'all know I'm very good about giving credit where credit is due. This is the person that wrote this, or this is the person that said this. But I did not, for some strange reason, write down where I got that summary from. And so I'm sorry that I don't have that name, but I want to use it again as we come to the close of this study of Jonah. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai: get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and announce judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and he went in the opposite direction, away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and he went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. His disobedience didn't go as he had planned, and he ended up in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. While in the belly of this great fish, he prayed and he repented of his disobedience and his sin. The Lord forgave him, and the fish spit him out on the shore. The Lord gave him a second chance, and Jonah took it. He went to Nineveh and he preached the repentance that God wanted him to preach in the first place. And to Jonah's chagrin, this is what I love, and to Jonah's chagrin, they repented. They heard the word and they repented, and God forgave their sin. Jonah, not yet fully in heaven yet, still living on this earth, Jonah ended up mad again, because God is slow to anger, and he's filled with love, and he's filled with grace. Jonah wanted God to destroy his enemy, not fall in love with them. So as we bring this study of Jonah to a close, we're going to talk about motivations today. What motivates you in your life? And so we've walked through this great story of Jonah, and we've talked about how the story of Jonah, even from that minor prophet, how that story points us to the good news of the gospel. So everything, in our study of Amos, our first minor prophet, we found out that Amos himself, as a minor prophet, and the problem and the sin of the northern kingdom, we found out that Amos pointed us to what? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So Amos points us to what? The gospel. Jonah, just like Amos, is going to do what? He's going to point us to the gospel. No matter what minor prophet we go to, Hosea, Nahum, it doesn't matter. They all point us to Jesus and the gospel. So Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 12, verses 40 and 41. I don't have time to go through all of the context of this part of the story. Jesus is once again arguing with the Pharisees about all different kind of issues. And the Pharisees say to Jesus, they say, Jesus, just show us a sign. Now, Jesus knows their heart, and Jesus knows they're not looking for a sign. They couldn't care less about signs. You know, in this day and age, when you hear people say things like, boy, if I could just see a sign, I would believe. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. You know why? Because their heart is hard. And in this day and age, you'll have people saying things like, oh, if I just had scientific proof, oh, if I just had scientific proof that God exists, then I would believe. No, they wouldn't. No amount of scientific proof, no amount of signage, nothing will bring people to faith in Christ if their heart is hard toward Him. And the Pharisees' hearts were hard. They were just trying to trick Jesus. Hey, show us a sign, Jesus, and we'll put faith in you as the Messiah. Well, Jesus knew that they were not going to do that. But He said, but I'll go ahead and show you a sign. And in verse 40 of that conversation that Jesus was having with the disciples, with the Pharisees, He said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. And then He ended that conversation with the Pharisees, and here's the key. Jesus said to the Pharisees, and this is how we're going to end the story of Jonah, but there's someone greater than Jonah today, right here in front of you. So Jesus is looking at the Pharisees, and He's saying, okay, you want a sign? Well, how about this sign? Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And now I will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. But there's one even greater than the sign that you're wanting, and you're looking right at Him. So Jesus is looking at the Pharisees and saying, I am the sign. Just like with Jesus and Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not just that the resurrection is some future event. I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus looks at these Pharisees and He says, I am Him. There's one greater than Jonah. You're looking right at Him. And then He said to these Pharisees, and here's the key. This is the key in Amos, and this is the key in Jonah. But you refuse to repent. And that's the key. Everybody hear that? I know you're thinking about lunch. I get it. I am too. I'm looking forward to lunch with my good friends Colin and Cassie. But just, I want you to hear that. Did you hear that? But they and you refuse to repent. And there's the key. There's the problem. That's the problem in Amos. The problem of the northern kingdom in Amos was the fact that they refused to repent. When God was telling them, this is what's going to happen to you, they refused to repent. In Jonah, they refused to repent. Jonah refused to repent. And that was the problem. And these Pharisees Jesus is talking to, He says to them, but you refuse to repent. And that's the key. In chapter 1, we talked about disobedience and what running from the Lord always brings. What does running from the Lord always bring, church? Pain, sin, death, and hell. Always. It always has. It always will. In chapter 2, we talked about the joy of repentance. What does repentance bring? It brings joy. I said this morning in the early worship, I am now in my 37th or 38th year. I can't remember exactly. But I've been doing this for about 37 or 38 years. This thing called pastoring, preaching. You'd think I'd be a little better at it by now, but that's not the point that I'm trying to make. But I said this morning in early worship, in 37 years of pastoring, never one time, and I'm not exaggerating, we Baptist preachers especially are prone to exaggerate, never one time, ever, never, I have never witnessed a person bawling their eyes out and repenting to the Father for their sin, and repenting for who they are, and repenting for the sin that's in their life, and then get up from that and go, you know what, forget about that. Not one time have I ever seen that. Not one time. You know why? Because repentance brings joy. We talked about the fact that fish We have this tendency to see the fish as judgment. Jonah went the wrong way. God made him pay by swallowing, by making the fish swallow him for 3 days and three nights. No. Jonah's in the sea and he's going to die. The fish was not judgment. The fish was the exact opposite, salvation and grace. And Jonah got it. In the next chapter, what did he do? He repented. He knew that he was in the belly of that fish and that was God's salvation, and he repented of his sin. We talked about second chances. God and his unrelenting pursuit of us. If we're in the hand of the Father, then there will be nothing on this earth that will ever stop him from pursuing us. What a beautiful picture that is. In chapter 4, we talked about the sin of arrogance and pride. Jonah wanted grace for himself. He repented of his sin. He wanted God's grace after repentance, but he didn't want it for the Ninevites. All of a sudden, Jonah got up on the moral high ground. I do realize that last Sunday, I quoted Billy Bob Thornton in Landman, and I paid a big price from this church for quoting Landman. But it's a great line. At the end of that conversation that he has with the young, woke, liberal, holier-than-thou lawyer, he looks at her and he says, by the way, just in case you need to know, the moral high ground gets real windy at night. Janice later in the week said, what did you mean exactly by that? Well, here's what I meant for us. I don't know what Landman really means by it, but I know what I meant for the early worship and for the second worship, and here's what I meant. Nobody in this church, not one person in this church has the authority to ever get up on the moral high ground. There's only one that can do that, and his name is Jesus, and none of you are him. Nobody. We don't have the authority. We're all at the foot, at the bottom. But when all of a sudden we want grace for ourselves, but we don't want it for somebody else, we want to take the moral high ground, then man, it gets awfully windy at night. So we talked about disobedience, running from the Lord, repentance and salvation and the joy that it brings and God's unrelenting pursuit of us. But Jonah shows us this side of heaven, we're not finished with sin yet. No. And that sin still brings pain. But God in his grace saved Jonah. And now there's one greater than Jonah for us. And his name is Jesus. So let's finish this study by talking about our motivations. What motivates you to be who you are, to do what you do, to live the way that you live? What motivates you? What is the ultimate drive of your life? So let's just say that I was to give you a shot in one of your arms. And this shot would make all of your anxiety and all of your fear of standing in front of a group like I'm doing and having to speak, and all that would go away. You'd be like Tim Hayes with a microphone in your hand. Yes, that's exactly right. I say it all the time. There is no human being more comfortable with a mic in his hand than Tim Hayes sitting right back there. He said, he's not offended by me. No, he's not offended at all. So all of a sudden, you're Tim Hayes. Freedom. Comfort. Ease. No anxiety, no fear. You can come right up here and stand and say whatever you want to say. Then I took a shot and gave you a shot in the other arm. And in that shot, it was truth serum. So you're free. You say what you want to say. You're comfortable. No fear, no anxiety. And you've got truth serum in the other arm, and so you have no choice but to tell the truth. And I was to ask you this question. For to me, to live is blank. With what word would you fill in the blank? For to me, to live is take a moment. Think about that. What word would you use? What motivates you? What moves you? What drives you to be who you are? To do what you do? Would it be money? Money has always been and always will be one of the greatest motivators of all time. It was in Scripture, for good, for bad. And it is still to this day. Is it money? What about job performance? Finding and keeping the right job. Boy, people come and talk to me all the time about I got to get this job. I got to get, you know, having the right job. Maybe it's job performance. Family life. Having a good marriage. Living for the kids. Living for the grandkids. I can say that now. Mine busted in just a few minutes ago. Pretty good. What about your reputation? Living for what other people think about you. That's a strong motivator. You know, some of the greatest athletes that have ever played whatever sport you want to name. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, swimming, it doesn't matter. Golf, some of the greatest athletes that have ever played whatever sports you want to name, they have become great because of what? Because of what others think. I will prove them wrong, and their drive because of what other people think about them. If you don't believe that, because everybody in this sanctuary, if I were to say, how many of you care and you live and care about what other people think? We'd all say, no, I don't do that. Well, you go home today and you look at Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, and what you'll find is that as human beings, we care a lot about what other people think. Group affiliation or social status. Selfishness, an inward focus. You see, in part, Jonah was motivated by selfishness. He wanted grace. He wanted, you know, forgiveness. But he didn't want it for the Ninevites. Many are motivated by an inward focus. What about just sin in general, the greatest motivator of all? We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. I'll do it my way. I'll run my own life. I know better than anyone, including God, what's best for my life. I'll run in the opposite direction. Jonah. What about an addiction? How about some good things? Obedience to Scripture. You realize that in church, it's okay for me as a preacher to talk about obedience to Scripture because we're in church. But out in the American culture that you and I live in, that word obedience is a swear word. I might as well be, as far as the American culture is concerned, I might as well be up here cussing. Obedience, no, that's a bad word. But for those of us who've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, obedience to Scripture certainly should be one of our greatest motivators. What about the glory of the Father? My two friends, Colin and Cassie, they're Presbyterian, y'all. They all done it's okay. They're my guests. Y'all be nice to them. But I said beforehand, I said, oh, I've already used y'all's illustrations in the first worship service. As Presbyterians, if I was to ask them, what is the first question of the shorter catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith? They would know it. They would be able to quote it. Matter of fact, Cassie says, oh, every Sunday at Covenant Presbyterian Church, we go through the first five with our children. The chief end of man is what? To bring glory to the Father and to enjoy Him forever. What we found from Jonah, when we choose bad or sinful motivations, God in His grace chooses to discipline us so that we can grow in our faith and become more like His Son, Jesus. And we should be thankful for that. And when we choose the right motivations and good motivations, God pours out His grace on us for what? For His honor and for His glory. And we should be thankful for that as well. Sin always leads to death. It always has. It always will. But God, through the grace of His Son, provides life everlasting, abundant, and free. And so we end this study of Jonah with Jesus talking to the Pharisees about Jonah. And we end this study of Jonah making this proclamation. Choose life today. Choose Jesus today. And remember, church, there's one greater than Jonah. And He's right here. He's right here. And it's not me. And it's not you. His name is Jesus. Trust Him today. Father, thank You for that good word from Jesus to the Pharisees, to Jonah, and all the way around back to us today. There's one greater than Jonah. We learn a lot from Jonah. But there's one greater than Jonah. And His name is Jesus. But I don't want to be one of the Pharisees that Jesus looks at and says, but you refuse to repent. I don't want that to be me. Because that leads to death and hell, period. No other choice. So, Father, if there's anybody that's here today that's never trusted You as Savior and Lord, like Jonah, running in the opposite direction, our prayer is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that You will draw them to You. They'll know salvation in Jesus and Jesus alone. For those of us that know You as Savior and Lord, Father, thank You for a powerful word to us today. Maybe we're headed in different directions with some of these other motivations that have kind of got us off track. Lord, thank You for pulling us back to You today. So in all things, Father, with all of us, thank You for the power of Your word today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation that we're going to sing is, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. I'll be here at the front to receive you. If you have a decision for Christ that you know that the Lord's leading you to make, then I'll be here at the front. If you need to join our church or come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and sing.
Oh, how He loves you and me.
Quickly before we head out, we got a few things that we need to deal with and talk about. All right, so kids, which one was that, Ken?
I'm not sure.
Well, if you're not, I know I'm not. All right, kids' summer camp. Parent meeting today at 1 o'clock after lunch here in the fellowship hall. Micah will be talking about all the things that are going on as far as kids' camp and the summer is concerned. So parents need to be at that meeting, fellowship hall at 1 o'clock, all right? Then we got Vacation Bible School coming up 2 weeks from today. Last Sunday of May, and that night, 5:30 to 8:15, go through June the 3rd, Vacation Bible School, one of the great weeks at First Baptist Church. If you'd like to help Micah, there is a sign-up sheet in front of the library, and you can fill that out or just talk to Micah, and he'll put you in the right place, all right? We're going to change the Andy Griffith Bible study from this week to next week. So, Ken, tell them why.
Yeah, on July the 5th, excuse me. We're going to have a special patriotic program, and it's going to be similar to what we did here two Christmases ago when First Baptist Boaz and First Baptist Albertville and our church participated in a big Christmas thing. We're going to do the same thing. It's going to be a patriotic for God and country service. So we'll have patriotic songs, and we'll have some worship songs as well. So it's going to be a big, big night on July the 5th at First Baptist Albertville. And so I'll be announcing that a little bit more, but we've got to practice to get ready for that. Wednesday night's our first combined practice at First Albertville. So there's a lot of the choir members, including Tim Hayes, would need to be there and here to be able to do the Andy Griffith Bible study. But instead, we're going to move it to the next week, the 27th. This week, Brother Joel's going to be leading,
yep.
So it'll be good. So if you're not involved in the choir thing, be sure to come, but then we'll have Andy Griffith the next Wednesday night.
So just simply swapping those two out, and they'll finish up Andy Griffith on Wednesday night, May the 27th, all right? No, we've already done that one. All right, Ken, you got anything? All right, so remember, two more weeks with this schedule. We've been doing this schedule here at First Baptist for at least 21 years, maybe even 22 years. We've been doing this schedule a long time. Ken's been here 18 and a half years, and I know we were doing it before Ken got here. So changing is not easy. It's going to be, you know, we're going to have to do some things as far as changing is concerned, but we will start Sunday morning, June the 7th, 3 weeks from today, 9 o'clock worship, 10 o'clock Sunday school. We're not rigid about that. We'll change if we need to change and make times different or better. But for right now, we're going to start with 9 o'clock worship, combined worship service, and then at 10 o'clock Sunday school. So keep that in mind. That is 3 weeks from today. Next two Sundays will be scheduled just as normal, and then we'll start that new schedule on Sunday, June 7th. All right. Let's close by standing and singing what, Ken?
One day.
One day. All right. Let's all stand and close.